And welcome everyone to another edition of The Final Point. I'm telling you right now, this is crazy. This NFL draft, I don't even know what to say. I actually watched it. My phone was like going off just because it's like, man, what are the Raiders doing? Like, what are the Cowboys doing? Like, what are some of these teams doing? Very shocked at what the Giants did, their moves and some of their picks. I thought I thought Cleveland had a better draft. I thought, you know, they filled in with some young guys that's going to help, you know, with the veterans, injuries, things like that. I like some of their picks, and I really like the direction that they're going in. I think they're showing a lot of commitment to winning. And I think a lot of things are going to change between now and the near future for the Cleveland Browns. And I think that's going to be the team that we end up talking about. I believe now in the direction that they're going, I think they can make the playoffs. I think they can do it. Now, how far they'll go, that's a whole nother conversation for another day. But I think that they can go somewhere. The Raiders, I was a little surprised. I thought the pick that they had, they reached for that guy. I didn't really too much like the pick. Their fourth pick, I would have traded out somewhere in the top 10, probably still could have got him, and still had an additional pick for the flexibility. Maybe have four first-round picks or something like that. Who knows? But I'm glad the draft is over. Congratulations to the Redskins for getting Dwayne Haskins. That's a mistake for the Giants. The Giants drafted the Duke quarterback, and it's like, why would you do that? It makes no sense. I didn't like that pick either. So we will see. We will see how things turn out. And again, we all could be wrong. It might be something that they see in Daniel Jones that we don't see. So we'll see. NBA playoffs. Wow, that's all I can say. I want to talk about game one between the Rockets and the Warriors. Now, I'm a big stats guy, and I think it makes a real difference. First of all, I saw a lot on social media where people said, hey, there were some bad calls. That's why the Rockets lost. Or there were some bad calls. That's why the game was close as the way it was. I disagree with everyone who says that. And here's why. First of all, you got to look at the poor shooting by PJ Tucker. He played 39 minutes, took four shots, didn't make any. You got to look at Capella, 27 minutes, 4 points. You got to look at James Harden taking 28 shots and only making 9. That's why the Rockets lost. And the excessive turnovers that they've had. That's why they lost. It had nothing to do with the bad calls. Now, did they make an impact in the game? Absolutely. I agree with that. But if the calls were the difference in the game, and if it really mattered, guess what? A lot of teams lost behind calls then. The whole entire series needs to be reviewed. Even last series. I mean, how many calls really affect the game if you're not taking care of your business all four quarters? I mean, I get James Harden. Yeah, I just want a fair call. I get that. But this is the playoffs. You may not get a call. But what you got to stop doing is taking 28 shots. If you realize that you're not making them, give up the rock, man. You had 4 rebounds, and then he turned around, jacked up 16 three-pointers. This entire basketball team jacks up 3 points. You're not going to match the Warriors with that. You're not. The Warriors shoot. This is their game. Klay Thompson, Curry. This is their game. This is what they do. They make millions of dollars shooting. You're not going to beat them that way. You got to go to the basket. You got to draw fouls. You have to create mismatches for the Warriors. You have to create mismatches. You have to be able to get to every rebound, get to every loose ball, and you have to put yourself in a position where you limit the turnovers. You got to make shots. You have to make free throws. That's what beats the Warriors. You're not going to outshoot them. It's not going to happen. Some people said, hey, you know, well, P.J. Tucker, you got to give him some credit. He did a really good job against KD. Here's my question. How is it that he did a great job on KD when KD took 25 shots, made 11 for 35 points? Now, I could see if he shut KD down to 5 or 8 points, but KD had 35, which is what we look at normally. He scores anywhere 35, sometimes 40. So he's been averaging about 30-something a game since the playoffs started. I don't understand why people think the Warriors will play any different than they have. Game 2 tonight, what adjustments, if you think about it, what adjustments have the Rockets made so far? We don't know. We're going to find out. But I'll tell you this. If they play the way they played game one, there's no way they have a shot at winning in this series. No way. I guarantee it. Eric Gordon took 19 shots, made 10, but took 13 three-pointers and only made 4 for 27 points, 37 minutes. That's not going to get it. I'm going to tell you that right now. If you take 19 attempts and only make 10, but you jack up 13 three-pointers, for me it's like, okay, well, how many assists do I have? You have no assist. None. And I keep telling people that. Eric Gordon is a cancer to the Rockets. He was that way last year. If he's not going to the basket, he's not effective. He's just not. And you play him 37 minutes for what? So you look at it, and you got CP, 36 minutes, 5 of 9, 17 points. He didn't do too bad, but he didn't do great either. I think what the Rockets have to do is they have to look at it as a whole and say, look, no matter how close that game was, did we do enough to win it? No. You know why? Because at the end of the day, guess what? The Warriors were 4 points better. And they're going to be double digits better next game if the Rockets continue to play the way they've been playing, especially tonight. Tonight is critical. I think tonight makes the difference in the series. I think if the Rockets win tonight, we're looking at 7 games. If the Rockets do not win tonight, it's either over in 4 or 5. That's it. I'll tell you this. I thought the Rockets had the advantage with the fact of the lack of rest that the Warriors had. The Warriors didn't have a lot of rest. And when I look at it from a statistical standpoint, I'm embarrassed because the Rockets have had rest. I'm embarrassed. I don't even know what to say. You play Shumpert, 21 minutes. He only had 3 points. He took 4 shots, didn't do nothing. You look at, again, you're playing P.J. Tucker. You're playing all these guys. And then you got nothing from your bench. From their bench, they ended up with 17 points combined total off the bench. 17. I'll tell you this right now. Chris Paul had more points in 36 minutes than the entire bench had in all of the minutes that they played. So, around 50-something minutes, 4 players have played, and they came up with 17 off the bench. Chris Paul already had that in less than 36 minutes. So, we have a problem. And the problem is, they're not getting anything from their bench. You have to get more out of your bench if you're going to beat the Warriors. If you look at the Warriors, look at their bench. They didn't get nothing. They played Livingston 14 minutes, 2 points. They played Looney 16 minutes, 6 points, but out of 4 shots, he made 3. So, if you look at it, they're going to run. What the Warriors are doing is they're going to run these guys into the ground. Kevin Durant played 43 minutes. Draymond Green played 40. Curry played 37. Klay Thompson played 41, which I was surprised. That's a lot of minutes. And Iguodala played 34 minutes. They shot really well. Iguodala went 6 of 7 for 14 points. Klay Thompson went 5 of 13. Curry, 5 of 12. They shot okay. Curry did not shoot very well from the three-point line. Some said it was jet lag. He took 10 three-pointers, only made 3. Those things happen. But he had 7 rebounds for 18 points, so he was effective. So game 2, I'm looking for a lot more production from Houston, but I also need the bench to come alive when they're in there. Because I don't see them winning at all tonight if they play the same way. There's just no way. There's no way. And if anybody thinks that they're going to win, you guys are out of your minds. Yesterday's game, Sixers and Raptors. Now the series is tied. I believe this is going to be a good matchup. The final was 94-89, Sixers. It was a really close game. Really, really close game down the stretch. But it was the Sixers that were able to hang on. So, they didn't get a lot out of Tobias Harris, the Sixers. And if the Sixers are going to be the best team coming out the East in this playoffs, Tobias Harris got to step his game up. I mean, when you're playing 36 minutes and you shoot 11 shots, only make 3, but you have 11 rebounds. He almost had a double-double, but you took 11 shots. You took 5 three-pointers. You only made 1. I'm like this. This is the way I see it. I figure as big as you are, if you go to the basket, that's an easy double-double right there because he already had 11 rebounds. So, does that make the game any closer? Or does that just grow the lead? If you drive to the basket and you actually make your free throws and you actually draw fouls. Just my opinion. Embiid, this is the worst game I've ever seen Embiid have. He had 32 minutes, 6 rebounds for 12 points. He's usually a 20 and 10 man. What happened? Ben Simmons, 3 of 6, 7 rebounds, 6 points. Hey, Ben, that doesn't get it. Jimmy Butler, 43 minutes, took 22 shots, made 9, took 10 three-pointers, made 4. He had 30 points, 11 rebounds. So he had a double-double. That's great. But guess what, Butler? It took you 9 shots. You had to make 9 shots and 4 three-pointers to come up with that 30 points. That's not going to get it. Granted, you had a double-double. J.J. Redick, 36 minutes. He took 10 shots, made 4, took 8 three-pointers, made 2, had 11 points. That's not going to get it either. That's not going to get it at all. But they got some good minutes out of Greg Monroe. He missed only 3 shots, but he had 5 rebounds, 10 points for 12 minutes. Not bad. They should have been playing him. I don't know why he's just now playing. But the Sixers from 3-point line, they took 35 three-pointers and only made 10 for 28%. That's horrible. You can't win a series shooting 28%. It's not going to happen. There's just no way. The Raptors. Now, I was kind of surprised that the Raptors lost. I think they did everything they could. I think they just got behind. Again, the Raptors have to get more out of their bench. They just have to. I mean, there's just no way. I mean, if you look at Siakam, he took 25 shots, made 9 for 21 points. So offensively, he's okay, but he's not great. For 40 minutes, to me, that's not enough. Kawhi Leonard, to me, one of the top scorers, the best, one of the best scorers in this series. 42 minutes. He took 24 shots, but he made 13. That was huge. But he took 10 three-pointers, only made three. So I think that if you cut down on the threes, make perimeter shots, go to the basket, draw fouls, this is a different game. And I really feel Toronto could have been up 2-0. Kyle Lowry, 42 minutes, 17 shots, only made 7 for 20 points. Mark Gasol, 35 minutes, you took 6 shots, only made 1. 4 three-pointers, only made 1. 7 rebounds for 5 points. That's not going to get it, Mark Gasol. It's not going to get it. So, neither team shot well from the 3-point line. The Raptors shot 27%. They also shot horrible. They shot 36% for 91 jump shots. And neither did the Sixers. So neither team shot well at all. It was just that the Sixers were able to find a way to win. The Nuggets and Portland. Now, this is interesting because we're talking about Dame. Dame's been killing it. The whole Oklahoma City series. He's been killing it. Don't get me wrong. He's been killing it. But when I look at what Dame did, he's still balling, ladies and gentlemen. 43 minutes for 39 points. Again, he took 12 three-pointers, only made 4. That's a lot to only make 4. That's a lot. But he had 39. Ernest Kanter had probably one of the best games I've seen him play since he left New York. 33 minutes, 11 of 14, 7 rebounds for 26 points. That's huge. They got to have that out of Kanter. They got to have that. CJ McCollum, 17 attempts for 7 shots. He took 7 three-pointers, only made 2 for 16 points for 38 minutes. That's not going to get it. And off the bench, they had Rodney Hood, 18 minutes. He took 10 shots, made 5, went 3 or 4 from the 3-point line, and had 17 points. So basically, you're telling me that Rodney Hood shot 50% by himself. The entire team shot 37%. There's a problem. There's a huge problem. Hopefully, Portland can make some adjustments. If you look at the Nuggets had everybody. Everybody was on fire. Paul Millsap, he took 12 shots, made 7, 6 rebounds, 19 points in 28 minutes. That's what the Nuggets are going to need. If they're going to win this series, Paul Millsap has to be able to play like that every game. Every single game. When Paul Millsap does not score in double digits, the Nuggets are going to lose the game. Because you figure Jamal Murray, Gary Harris, they can only score so many points. They can only score so many points. Jokic, what can you say about this dude? 18 shots, made 11, made 5, he took 5 three-pointers, made 3 for 9 rebounds, 37 points. He almost had a double-double there. That's a bad man right there in Denver. And then Jamal Murray, 15 shots, made 8, went 3 of 6 from the 3-point line, 8 assists, 23 points. Now, go back to Jamal Murray where he had 8 assists. You got to pass that rock. You got to get everybody involved. You can't just have Jokic for 37 points. But then Jamal Murray came around and had 23 points, but he also had 8 assists. They didn't get anything from their bench. And the bench played a lot. Mason Plumlee, 24 minutes. He only had 6 points. Morris, the point guard, had 15 minutes for 4 points. I mean, these are just horrible. Horrible. I believe in the bench. The bench has to have more production. That final was 121-113. To me, the Nuggets have to keep their foot on the gas if they're going to make it to the conference finals. That's it. You got to. Tonight, Rockets, Warriors, Celtics, and Bucks. Now, Celtics and Bucks played on Sunday. And what can you really say about Kyrie Irving? I mean, if you're sitting down and you're listening to this right now, what can you say about Kyrie Irving? I'm going to tell you what you can say about Kyrie Irving. He's underrated. You know why? The same thing he did in Cleveland, same thing he's doing in Boston. Now people say, oh, well, you can't guard Durant. Nobody can guard Durant. Who can guard Kyrie Irving? Who can guard Kyrie Irving? The Celtics. Jaylen Brown, 36 minutes, 14 shots, made 8, 19 points. Kyrie Irving, 33 minutes, 21 shots, made 12, 7 rebounds, 11 assists, 26 points. That's a double-double right there. 11 assists, 26 points. Now, does Al Horford score 20 points without the 11 assists from Kyrie Irving? That's my question. Jason Tatum, 4 points for 30 minutes. Tatum, he's got to get it done. Tatum has got to play better than that. He's got to. He's too talented for that. Morris, good production, 4 of 6, 7 rebounds, 9 points for 30 minutes. My expectations for Morris is not that high, so I guess that's okay. Coming off the bench, Terry Rozier, 20 minutes, 4 of 8, 11 points. But he had 9 rebounds. 9, ladies and gentlemen, 9 rebounds. A point guard, 9 rebounds. So you're telling me that Terry Rozier could have had a double-double. He already had 11 points, but if he had 1 rebound, you have 1 point guard, that's a double-double. So my question is, as a point guard, you got your bigs there. You're telling me that he's going to out-rebound Greek Freak, Lopez. I don't understand. That's ridiculous. That is ridiculous right there. And they shot 41% from 3. They shot 54% from the field. And Milwaukee was just horrible. They shot just as bad from the 3-point line as they did from the floor. At 89 shots, they only shot 34%. That's not going to get it, Bucks. From a record standpoint, on paper, you guys are the best in the East. But when I look at, you guys took 89 shots, only made 31 for 34%. That's not going to get it. Not against Boston. It's not going to get it. Not going to get it. 54% for Boston, 41% for the 3-point line. I mean, they were awesome in game one. But another thing I want to remind people is this, is that you could be awesome game one. You could be awesome, but then at the same time, you be awesome game one, but then you take your foot off the gas game two, and you're not as good as you were game one. So then the series changes. So Milwaukee, I'm going to tell you what Milwaukee has to do. Milwaukee cannot continue to play the Greek Freak 34 minutes, but he's coming up, but he's taking 21 shots for 22 points and only making 7. That's not going to get it. Because again, ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to agree with me, but look at it this way. Why take all them shots, but you're shooting 30%? You're shooting 30%. The Warriors shot somewhere close, maybe a little above that, against the Clippers, and they won the ball game. So, I don't understand. They're not getting anything from their bench at all. They were out-rebounded, 51-44. I don't know. I really hope, and I mean, this is what kills me, is the fact that if you take 31 three-pointers as a whole and you make 13, and you, as the coach, you look at that stat sheet and you say,
Why are we taking so many three-pointers? If you're not making them, you got to drive to the basket. What's the point of having a big man in the middle if he can't get the ball?
I mean, that's what I think about when I look at these stats. Boston just out-rebounded them. Boston had 11 blocks. So they were great defensively on the road. They both had somewhat turnovers. They both had 13 to 11. That's not much of a difference in turnover margin. But again, I'm hoping for a much better game. This team has to play better. They're just too good. They're just too good. So tonight, you got the Warriors Rockets 7:30. You got the you got Boston and the Bucks at 5. These are going to be two interesting games. If you're not watching this, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what you're doing with your life after your 9 to 5. Moving forward, boxing. Now, when you look at it, I was looking at Robert Eastern against Bartholomew, and can't really pronounce his name, but I've seen him fight before. He's a real tough fighter. Robert Eastern Jr. came in there. It was a split. One judge scored the fight 115-113 for Eastern. One had 115-113 for Bartholomew. And one had it 114-114, meaning that the 135 belt at stake will remain vacant. So, to me, that sucks. Because there's no winner at all. They looked at it like this. Eastern only landed, he landed a mere 54 out of 415 punches, which is 13%. Bartholomew only connected 52 times out of 328 punches for 16%. So that was kind of a back and forth fight. That was a back and forth fight. So I think this will be a great undercard fight for a big time card. I'd say this. I would love to see Robert Eastern on the Deontay Wilder Joshua undercard. I mean, that would be the biggest ticket in town if you can get that. That would be the biggest ticket in town if you can get these guys on your undercard. Because if you look at it on pay-per-view buys, people charging $70 per home. They charging $70 per home. So I'm thinking, you know what? Make an undercard. Make my money worth it. If I'm going to pay $70. Now, when you look at the weight classes. Now, I want to talk about the heavyweight division while I'm able to talk about boxing. Anthony Joshua, no doubt about it. He is a WBO, IBF, WBA champion right now in the heavyweight division. Okay. Right now, Deontay Wilder has a WBC. So, the question is, what does it take for a unification fight? What is it going to take? I keep hearing, oh, well, Joshua offered me Wilder offered me $50 million. I keep hearing all the excuses. But no one's saying, what is it going to take? What are the terms and conditions? What does Joshua want? We still have yet to hear that. What does Wilder want? We still have yet to hear that. So no one's saying anything. No one's saying anything at all. So that's what makes me believe that this fight won't get done anytime soon. Now, I will also want to talk about the welterweight division, which is at 147. And it makes no sense to me. Right now, you got Sean Porter. He's the WBC champion. WBA champion is Keith Thurman. Earl Spence is IBF. And Terrence Crawford is WBO. Now, these are considered the four best welterweights in the world right now at 147. Now, all these top contenders, what is it going to take for maybe Sean Porter and Keith Thurman to get in the ring? What is it going to take? Because I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, Keith Thurman is scared. He's scared. He has every excuse in the book. I get tired of listening to him. I get tired of hearing his interviews because this dude is a joke. I'm telling you right now. I don't know. His last two fights, if you go back, he won on the scorecard. He didn't win because he was just that dominant fighter. He won on the scorecards. That's why he's still the champion. But I'm going to tell you right now, that's not going to happen when he fights Terrence Crawford. And it's not going to happen when he fights Errol Spence. It's not going to happen. But you know what? Going back to Errol Spence, Mikey Garcia, I'm not a big fan of him, but you have to give him a lot of credit. Mikey Garcia jumped up two weight classes to fight Errol Spence, and everybody else is scared of Errol Spence. Nobody wants to fight Errol Spence, but he was man enough to say, look, I'll jump up two weight classes, and he just recently vacated his lightweight title also. You got to give that man a lot of credit. And don't get me wrong, he got whooped. There's no doubt about it. I'm not justifying his loss, but what I'm saying is, at least he was man enough to take that fight. I'm quite sure before Mikey Garcia, there were a lot of fighters who had opportunities to fight also, and they did not. They didn't accept it for whatever reason. They didn't accept it. Now we're hearing Manny Pacquiao against Errol Spence. Now, this is why it makes a great fight, in my opinion, okay? Manny Pacquiao has a lot of experience, and people forget that. People forget the experience that Manny Pacquiao has. He has a lot of experience. And if you look at it, Errol Spence has never fought Floyd Mayweather. And he's not going to. But Manny Pacquiao has. Manny Pacquiao has. So my point is this. Is that with his experience, it's going to play a major key in the fight. And we hear about this all the time. Mayweather says this all the time. Experience plays a major key. Now, he always also says that youth is on Spence's side. That's what makes it an intriguing fight, because you got youth versus experience. Youth versus experience. When you look at it from that perspective, it's a very intriguing fight. And you know what? Let's say Errol Spence loses to Pacquiao. Just hypothetically. Are you surprised? Are you surprised? No, you're not. You know why? Because he lost to a great champion and an experienced fighter. Now, if Errol Spence beats Pacquiao, are you surprised? No. You know what people are going to say? Spence is a dominant fighter. Spence is this, Spence is that. And I'm not knocking Errol Spence. That's a bad man. But I'm saying, in reference to when you look at the two from a comparison standpoint, and what you're going to have is, and this is just the way social media is, 1 minute they're rooting for Spence. But if Spence loses, you watch who's rooting for Spence then. But they need to make that fight happen. It's Bob Arum as to why that fight is not happening. And it's Bob Arum is why Terrence Crawford does not fight Errol Spence either. It's because of Bob Arum. Bob Arum, hey, man, look, if you're about money, these are the fights. These are the fights. No one cares about Lopez and some of these other, you know, low-class fighters. Nobody cares about them. Nobody wants to see that. That's why the fights are on PBC. Instead of pay-per-view, because nobody wants to see that. And nobody wants to pay for that either. Now,
Gervonta Davis. Now, for me, that's my guy right there. Gervonta Davis. Gervonta Davis and Tevin Farmer. Right now, and this is junior lightweight at 130. Tevin Farmer is the IBF champion and Gervonta Davis is WBA champion. Now, the question is, what does it take to make that fight? What does it take to make that fight? Because I don't think Tevin Farmer wants to smoke. He don't want to give or see Gervonta Davis with another belt, because that's what's going to happen. I'm telling you now.
It's not good. To me, I don't even think Leonard Ellerbe's even worried. I don't even think that's a fight on his agenda to even make. We know he's there. He may be an option. But I don't think the fight's going to happen anytime soon. It's going to happen when Mayweather Promotions wants it to happen. Now you talk about Lomachenko. Now, Lomachenko is 135. That's the lightweight. Tevin Farmer is in the junior lightweight. So that means that somebody's going to have to move up to fight Lomachenko at 135. So they got to move up 5 pounds. Is that the direction that Gervonta Davis is going up? Is that who he's going to fight? I know he's going to have one tune-up in his hometown in Baltimore. And then I think they're going to go after Lomachenko or somebody big like that. Even Richard Cromie, he's the IBF lightweight champion. That could be something. That could be a fight. But if I'm Tevin Farmer, I would move up and wait. There's a vacant WBC belt there at the lightweight division. If you still can't get a fight with Gervonta Davis, why don't you just move up and wait? Keep your IBF junior lightweight, but then go up and wait, fight for the WBC belt, and then fight Lomachenko. And then if you fight Lomachenko, you win that, then Gervonta Davis is interested. I mean, you gotta figure it out. But I forgot you're signed to Matchroom Boxing, so good luck with that. If you look at the junior middleweight, now junior middleweight to me is where it gets a little complicated, okay? Because you got the 154 pounder, Jarrett Hurd, he's IBF middleweight, and then he's the WBA also. The question is Jarrett Hurd ever going to fight Tony Harrison for the unification? That would be a must-see TV for unification. They got to get that done. They got to get that done. Canelo Alvarez, I'm going to say this right now. We're just going to get this out the way. Jarrett Hurd does not want the smoke. Jarrett Hurd does not want the smoke from Canelo Alvarez. I'm telling you now. You heard it first. You heard it first. He does not want the smoke. Daniel Jacobs is the IBF champion. That's going to be a unification fight between Canelo Alvarez. That's going to be a good fight to an extent. Canelo Alvarez, I'm telling you now, Canelo Alvarez is going to beat him. He's going to beat him. I'm not going to even watch the fight. He's going to beat him. That's it. If Jarrett Hurd wants to remain relevant, he better either move up and wait or challenge Canelo to come down. I don't think Canelo's going to come down. I think he's comfortable at 160. So, good luck with making that fight. I mean, these divisions are wide open. These divisions are wide open. Keep your eyes out, too, for Leo Santa Cruz. That's a good fighter. Keep your at 122, junior featherweight Daniel Roman. Keep your eyes out for that guy. He's tough. Gary Russell Jr., he's tough. There's a lot of tough fighters out there. So keep your name, keep your eyes out for these fighters. Anthony Durrell, he's fought quite a bit on PBC. He's at 168. Canelo Alvarez, just so you guys know, Canelo Alvarez. And this kind of just goes to show you how good this man is and why everybody don't want the smoke. Canelo Alvarez is the WBA regular super middleweight champion at 168. He's also the WBA WBC middleweight champion at 160. So he's a champion in two different weight classes right now. How about that? Daniel Jacobs don't want it. So now he's going to unify the middleweight. After Saturday, he's going to unify all three belts at the middleweight division. And then he's going to have one belt at the super middleweight. That's a bad man. That's a lot of accolades to have. A lot of accolades.
Thank you for tuning in to The Final Point. We'll see you next week.